various committees.
Blog Talk Radio.
Nothing big, but all things that need to be done. Then, of course, quarterly meeting. I would like to encourage you, even if you don't know what a quarterly meeting is, probably got up this morning and didn't have a deep desire in your heart to know what a quarterly meeting was. It's part of who we are. It's a denominational thing. You need to be aware that you have sister churches in the Metroplex area, and then we'll have churches come as far away as Waco, Texas, as far away as Wichita Falls, Texas, Decatur, Bowie, Weatherford, just all around the area here. There won't be a great many people here, but I'd like for you to be able to get a feel that there is more to us than just us, and that we relate to a quarterly meeting, and then the quarterly meetings around the state of Texas relate to a state association that convenes in June each year. And then next year in July, the National Association of Free Will Baptists is going to convene its annual meeting in Fort Worth, Texas. And so you'll have a little better feel of what's going on. You want to go to the national meeting. You're going to get to see thousands of Free Will Baptists. There's going to be good preaching. There's an exhibit hall, lots of activities. It's just good to see so many of God's people gathered together in one place, and you'll get a sense of what God is doing through our denomination. And so I hope you'll plan on coming. And to these, this year, State Association is going to be celebrating the 100th year of the current State Association of Free Will Baptists in the state of Texas. And there's going to be a lot of things done to accentuate that. That will be in June. And so I hope that you'll keep those things in mind. So be here this Saturday. If you're here by 9 o'clock, you'll get to sit in on a workshop. There'll be some business, there'll be a preaching service, and then we're gonna have a meal. Sister Patsy has there's a sign up sheet in there out there for the cold sides that are going. Brother Glenn is going to provide the warm dishes for our, including the meat for our district association meeting here this Saturday. And so we need desserts and other salads, things like that, breads. Feel free to sign the list so we can kind of know what to expect that day. And then the other reason you need to be here is we need to have help so we can be good hosts and hostesses. So be here ready to help. People have questions, you'll be able to direct them in the right place. So that's I think it's, and I want us to put our best foot forward because we're proud of our church, and we want to put our best foot forward. So if you possibly can, be here. If you're here by 9 o'clock, that will be fine. And when you get here, if you come into the sanctuary, this is where it'll convene. But you may want to, the members here need to go back maybe and check in the back and see if there's any help needed back there. But if you've never been to one before, I want you out here as much as possible so you can take in what the quarterly meeting is all about. Okay, we're going to devote the first few minutes here. Brother Jared, I want you, if you would, to come ahead, because once we get the service started, I'd like for us to kind of just go with the service without worrying about all these ancillary issues. I'm not suggesting that what Jared's going to talk about is any less important than the preaching of the word or anything else, because as you can guess, he's going to talk about Operation Christmas Child. It's going to take a little more time this morning because we're getting very close to it. And you'll look up here on the altar, you can already see part of what this is about. So Brother Jared, come ahead.
Good morning and God bless you all. Morning. Talking about Operation Christmas Child, I just have a couple of things. Number one, if people, but if you will look in your bulletin, there are two things in there. First of all, we have a count in there, and it's not updated because it didn't count what came in today. But we have a count in there of how many boxes we've got, how many boxes of promise, So if you want to feel of where we are and where we're going, that's a quick way to get to it. As of right now, and you can see over here on the altar, we have 29 boxes that have come in. Five more have been promised, and people have said, I'm going to bring this many boxes coming in. So we're already about a third of the way there. Still a long way to go, but we've got quite a few boxes in already, and I want to thank the people who put those, who got the boxes in already today.
Thank you.
exactly the idea of the ordinance. So if you can write on either paper or small voice, whatever you want, if you talk to that lawyer, you put it there, make sure that it is the law.
Not to think about mountains when you think about Nepal. But whenever I think of Nepal, I think of Hinduism. Just a lot of darkness there. But then I also think of the teams that I work with and the Christians that are there. The desire that they have to see the next generation love the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. To be a Christian in Nepal means that you're different than a lot of the other people. They're so fervent to share the good news. They sacrifice so much. And that's part of why there's been such tremendous growth of the church here.
We have been struggling to reach out in the community because we are the Christians and we are the minority groups here. Now when we go, with the Operation Christmas Child, they like the gifts very much. It has been a wonderful tool to introduce us in the community.
Operation Christmas Child is partnership with churches. It's discipleship to children.
With these gift boxes, the very simple gift boxes, the kids look very excited and very happy.
It's a key that unlocks opportunities in some of the darkest places in the world.
This is the first time they have got the gift ever in their lifetime.
Operation Christmas Child isn't just shoebox gifts. It's so much more. The reason why I love Operation Christmas Child is because we work through local churches and we give them this tool, and it allows them to reach out to children that aren't already in their reach so that they can have the greatest long-term kingdom impact.
Operation Christmas Child, they have a long-term ministry that every child, they can know the love of Jesus Christ through the box. So because of the children, there are several families who came to Christ.
मलाई एकदमै खुसी लाग्यो। त्यति बेला मलाई कलम कपी थिएन अनि त्यति बेला कलम कापी थियो त्यति बेला मैले प्रभुलाई पहिला प्रभु भन्दा के हो थाहा थिएन अनि म त्यति खेला त्यति बेर देखि सन्देश जान थालेँ।
मेरो समस्या धेरै नै छ। अब श्रीमानले छोडेर गएपछि अनि मलाई धेरै गाह्रो भयो।
भन्दाखेरि हामी चर्चमा गयौँ होइन हामीले यस्तो गऱ्यौँ अनि परमेश्वरमाथि अब हामी शनिबार शनिबार जानुपर्छ भन्ने ऊ धेरै खुसी भयो.
We got to be part of the distribution to about 150 kids in a slum area, right in the heart of Kathmandu. The kids were just so needy.
I came over here to play with these kids and see what they had in their boxes. And they start trying to give me their stuff. Hey, look at this. It's a bunch of gum. You know, here, take a piece. You know, isn't this great? And they're showing me all the different toys. These kids have never seen anything like this.
It was only 3 days after we did the distribution that the government completely flattened the entire area. It definitely gives a sense of urgency that we would bless their community and then know that 4 days later, the community just doesn't exist.
Operation Christmas Child goes to some of the furthest places in the world. We're en route to a very remote place. The only way you can get there is by foot. So this place is very close to the gospel. The national leadership team and the local pastors partnering with Samaritan's Purse feel like the best first step to get into this area is through Operation Christmas Child.
Mostly the girls from 16 to 24 years are vulnerable, but there are the cases even the girls from 8 years are trafficked. The ultimate aim is gift boxes as an open door for gospel, where the churches are established when there is the love of Christ and trafficking can stop.
God's love was clearly shown, letting those children know that God loves them and He wants the very best for them. The next step after a child gets the Operation Christmas Child shoebox is they get the opportunity to go through a 12-week discipleship course called The Greatest Journey. The Greatest Journey is an opportunity for them to go deeper in their knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ and what it means to follow Him. Operation Christmas Child is a really simple thing. The church can use this to get that first step to open the door up so that ultimately they can enter into a relationship, people can come to Christ, and churches can be planted. It can transform a whole generation, transform an entire community.
Thank you.
any other announcements I need to labor today. The only thing would be is this Wednesday night is postponed, or I don't guess you can postpone Wednesday, can you? The service for Wednesday night is going to we will not have Wednesday night service. We'll just meet here Thursday to do the retreat. And so with that, then, I'm going to ask Brother, Brother Heron, you go ahead and come and lead us in our singing now, please. Offering. Our Father, we bow in your presence today, hearts filled with gratitude for the many things that have blessed our lives, and they've come from your hand, and we praise you, Lord. The gift of life, the talents, the opportunity to work, to make our way through this life, all this comes from you. And Father, we're grateful today that we're each one well enough to be here in this service. For there are many in our church family who are struggling with physical impairments. Lord, some are troubled by things that have not yet even been identified. But God, we know you know our lives so well that irrespective of what the doctors decide, these things are in your hands. And so we praise you for the good health that we enjoy, and we praise you that you're caring for those who don't enjoy good health today. Father, I pray that you would bless this project of trying to make sure that children all around the world have something this coming Christmas that will remind them of what Christ did for the whole world, that he gave himself so that all men could come to him. And these little gift boxes are just one piece of that puzzle of trying to figure out how to get the gospel to all the world. Bless all these children that you already know will be receiving a gift. And bless all those who are going to participate in this and make it possible. Now, Father, I pray that you would bless our church. Father, we know our church is a small church in terms of numbers, but we're not restricted by the head count on any given day. For, Lord, we know that he that is in us is indeed great and is the ruler of the world. And, Father, so we just simply praise you for the opportunity to be here today. Bless our church as it tries to reach this community with the gospel. Now bless this offering that we're about to receive, and I pray that you would help us to make these dollars work as wisely as they possibly can, and that they will stretch to be able to take care of all the needs that our congregation has. These are great favors that we ask, but we're not afraid to ask them because we know our Savior is able to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Bless this offering, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. appreciate your offering. I had my grandchildren with me, time gets by, anyway, a weekend or two ago. And I was thinking about, in fact, we were talking about the Operation Christmas Child, my wife and I, and my son, his wife, and our two grandkids. And as we were talking about that, and I was thinking about these kids that are going to be impacted around the world, I looked across at my grandson, and he was unhappy. The reason he was unhappy, his mother had brought him his Spider-Man pajamas instead of his Incredible Hulk pajamas. And he was unhappy about that. And I was thinking, you know, we've been talking about Operation Christmas Child, all the tens of thousands of little children who are worried about the fact that they're hungry, or will they be killed during the night? What's going to happen then, not a week from now or a year from now, but what's going to happen an hour from now? How fortunate we are to live where we live, to enjoy the bounty that we enjoy. Let's not forget that there are so many who don't have that privilege. And so I want to say I thank you for caring enough. And let's fill that green box out there with more pencils and crayons and dolls and cars and little things that will go in the box. I know many have already donated a box. But if you've got some spare change, instead of buying another ice cream cone or another Pepsi Cola in my case, stop by one of these little discount stores and pick up a package of pencils or crayons or little toys or something or other. Bring them to church with you. Just drop it in the box. Nobody will know that you did it except the Lord in heaven. And so let's just keep doing throughout the season. Let's fill that box up so that we can exceed our goal if we possibly can. All right, Sister Cindy's going to come now and lead us in choruses, after which Sister Sandy will sing for us.
Good morning and welcome to the services. It's good to see everybody here. My theme today is the song we just played, He Touched Me and Now I Am Made Whole. The verse comes from Matthew 8:3, where it says, "Then Jesus put forth his hand and touched him." I hope you feel touched by his hand this morning. We're going to start by singing, "Holy is the Lord." If you'll stand with me, we'll sing. Joy. That's not it. Sorry.
The joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship him now. How great, how awesome is he. And together we sing.
Hopefully the next one is going to be a little bit easier for us to sing, because I think we know this one. This is Jesus, name above all names.
Have we got words to?
Living word. blessed Redeemer, blessed Redeemer.
Okay, my last song is Oh How He Loves You and Me. Feel the Touch.
Look at our bulletin when we first come in the door of the needs of the people. The little children that Jared talked about all over the world that needs the gospel. Each and every one here has a need. But you know, in Psalms, I believe it's in, I wrote down, 121, God tells us that I look into the hills from which cometh my strength and my help. For my help comes from the Father above. And that's what my song is about. The message of my song is when we have a need, we just look to God, look to the hills, and just stop and rest a while and let him talk to us.
And I don't know what to do. I just look unto the hills which come my help. When the dream I dream has died, and I need a place to hide, I just unto the hills which comes my help. I cry, Father, Holy Father, I need to rest a while. Give me water
and I look unto the hills which come my head. In my valleys all will fade into another yesterday as I look unto the hills which come my head.
You may have noticed a moment ago that when we received the offering, Brother Harless was not in position. He is at home today. Don't know what he's ailing from, but had an episode that has both Brother Benny and Sister Sandy concerned, as we all are about him. Be praying for Brother Harless. He was on the couch and was unable to get up, but apparently he's doing better now. But I think it would be fitting for us to pause once again and have a word of prayer. And I'm going to ask Brother, if I can remember his name, Brother Heron, if you would step to that microphone and lead us in this special prayer for Brother Harless. Let's all stand.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you that you have given us the privilege of praying for one another.
Yes.
And Lord, we want to thank you for Brother Bob and his faithfulness to you and to the church. We appreciate so much his faithfulness as time has gone by and the things that he's had to face as things have come his way that most of us don't understand. Some of us do.
Mm-hmm.
But Lord, whatever his problem is right now, please touch his body.
Yes.
We pray, Lord, that if it's at all your will, you'd raise him up and give him back his health, that he might be able to serve the church and take care of his wife. And we just leave him in your hands, knowing, Lord, that you can do more than we can. But, oh, Lord, our hearts reach out to you and to him. Touch his body. Heal him, we pray. We ask it, Lord, in the name of our precious Savior who died that we might live.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to get us out of here on time. So fasten your seatbelts. We're going to go for a quick ride. This morning's message is based on a passage of Scripture in the Gospel of John, the second chapter. John's Gospel, of course, is an extraordinary literary piece. It's unusual when compared to the other Gospels, but my, how much poorer our Bibles would be if we didn't have it. In the second chapter, there's a story, and I'm not going to take the time to read it, there is an episode that records a time whenever Jesus and the disciples were in Galilee and they were invited to attend a wedding in Cana. I don't know what people's responses were in that day when they got an invitation to a wedding. A wedding in that culture was very, very different from weddings in our day. If the preacher takes much more than 10 or 15 minutes getting the knot tied today, we get real uncomfortable. But in those days, weddings lasted for days. So they were very extraordinary events, not only in the life of the family involved, but in the life of the community as well. It's very likely in a small community like Cana, which was a very small village nestled in the hills of Galilee, relatively unimportant as towns in the ancient world went, even towns in Israel for that matter, except for the people that lived there. It had the it enjoyed being located close to a thriving village, which is not even mentioned in our Bible, Sepphoris, but nonetheless, it wasn't the city that mattered. It really wasn't the wedding that mattered. And it wasn't a lot of the things that we talk about when we talk about the wedding feast at Cana that mattered. There are a couple of things I want to point out to you in this passage. Number one, we usually refer to this as the beginning of miracles. This was the first miracle, as often said. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, the first miracle happened in Bethlehem, at least with respect to the life of Jesus. Or it even happened before then whenever Mary conceived as a virgin. Miracles were a part and parcel with the life of Jesus Christ even before he was born. But this was the miracle that often gets tagged as the first miracle. And then we zero in on the word miracle. The word miracle comes from a word in the Greek that can also be translated sign. And it's a cognate of the word that also gets translated witness. And in this particular instance here, I think the word would be better off understood as a sign. I say that because it's never proper. Never proper. You don't get to say never or always very often. It is never proper for the miracle to receive all the attention. Miracles were always for the purposes of pointing to someone else or something else, a deeper, more important truth. In our generation, the so-called miracle workers are often self-promoters who are trying to use these spectacles as an opportunity to advance their own personal agendas. Miracles in the New Testament were all about putting the spotlight on the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A sign miracle always points to a greater truth. And in this case, it affirms the glory and the lordship of Jesus Christ. What happens here is from this point on, religion can no longer be about ritual and ceremony. It's now about the kingdom of God and its power to transform lives. Old wine is now new. The old now pales by comparison to new. What the Old Testament said through types and images, it now becomes abundantly clear through the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. A couple of three things that need to be noted at this point. First of all, I want you to know, this is important. You can take this home with you and bank on it. Jesus is present in good times as well as in bad. Now, a wedding should be a joyous occasion. Jesus was invited, and Jesus ought to always be invited to something like that. Jesus should always be the welcome guest. But note, he had to be invited. God doesn't force his way into your life. He doesn't somehow or other try to, as it were, to manipulate you. God waits for you to invite him. But also I want you to notice that there's nothing too trivial for Christ. My grandson, I mentioned to you, was all upset because he was stuck with wearing Spider-Man pajamas when any sensible 6-7-year-old knows you ought to be wearing hawk pajamas on that particular occasion. And I thought, oh, you know, how silly. But, you know, if you're the six-year-old stuck wearing Spider-Man pajamas when you ought to be wearing Incredible Hulk pajamas, that's a big issue in life. We tend to think how trivial. I wonder, you know, this was important because if you were to run out of wine at a wedding in the Middle East at this particular time, it was scandalous. It was a tragedy. And listen, the town had turned out. This was going to be the talk of the town. Mom and Dad would never be able to walk down the main street of Cana again with their heads erect. The groom and the bride must have been completely embarrassed. No, we cannot have run out of wine. Well, this brings me to the next point. Jesus has the power to transform our lives. This was nothing. And against the great concerns of God Almighty in heaven, running out of wine at a wedding feast in Cana must not have even registered on the scale. But it caught Jesus' attention. And the real truth of this miracle is that Christ is Savior before He's anything else. Now, why do I say that? If you'll look at, you don't have to look right now, but in verse 4, it's Jesus said, Mary, Jesus' mother said, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour's not yet come." People have looked at that as a rebuke, that the Lord was rebuking his mother. No, he was not rebuking her. He wasn't being the Lord would never do that to his mother. He honored his mother just because, for no other reason than he knew one of his commandments to all people was honor your father and your mother. He knew that. He was not going to rebuke her. What he was doing was wording this in a way that was striking. It was arresting. We think about that so much so, we forget verse 5. Records these words, "His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it." If we don't get anything else this morning out of this service, I hope you'll take that home with you. Whatever Christ says, do it. Don't argue about it. Don't rationalize it. Don't carry on an internal debate about it. If Jesus said do it, then just simply do it. You see, the point of his remark to his mother was this. It's no longer about son and mother. It's now about Savior and sinner. Now, irrespective of what some people may say about Mary and their efforts to venerate her, she was lost and needed to be saved. Wasn't it great that she had a son who was now able to do more for her than she was ever able to do for him? He would be her Savior. How much more, then, is that true for the rest of us? The second truth, but no less true, is that all things are done according to his time. My hour is not yet come. People wring their hands and ask themselves the question, why me? Why now? What have I done? Listen, God's in control of time. And as one clever person said one time, he never is late. He always shows up just on time. Mary's response in verse 5 was the response of trust. She knew he could do the right things, if for no other reason than he was aware of the need. I want you to know this morning there isn't anything going on in your life that Jesus is not already aware of. And Jesus supplies all of our needs. Those six stone pots there, I am going to allegorize a little bit here. Allow me to suggest that those six stone pots might be taken to represent the hardness and the emptiness of the Jewish establishment at that time. But let me say to you, on a higher note than that, churches can become insensitive and empty metaphorically. We can become stone cold and empty. And to avoid this, a church must depend on the Spirit's presence. Notice Jesus said, fill them to the brim. Why would we want to be just half full? Why would we want to have just a little of the presence of God in our lives? We are vessels, meet for the master's use. Lord, my prayer today is fill me to the top, to running over, so that it just splashes out on everyone else. Christ gives meaning to meaninglessness and fullness to emptiness. But the key is trust. And the evidence of that trust is obedience. They did just exactly what the Lord commanded. And then in closing, let me say this. If you're frustrated, if you're concerned, you're worried, you just don't see how it's going to turn around for you, well, you can't see the resolution to the issue that bothers you the most in life, remember this. God saves the best for last. Man, the fellow that was, he tasted that wine. He says, boy, usually you get the worst at the last. You saved the best to last. I heard a story one time. I don't know who it's about. I think it may be urban legend, but then again, who knows? It was said of one of the professors, in fact, at seminary, when he died, he wanted them to put a dessert fork in his casket, which was a symbol of God saved the best for last. It's time for the dessert now. Well, I don't know if I go with that. I think right now this is going to pale by comparison to what's coming. The main course is coming next. Christ is coming again. Don't lose hope. Don't give up. This sign miracle was for the purpose of reminding us that he can supply all of our needs. Would you stand, please? Let's pray. Our Father, as we extend an opportunity for any searching soul today to come to an old-fashioned altar of prayer, seeking God's guidance, leadership, and blessing, or seeking salvation, give us by your Spirit the courage to stand up and step out and honor Christ in our lives today through our trust and our obedience. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I caught our musicians by surprise, but just while they're getting in position to sing the song, I want to extend to you right now the opportunity to come and bow to either one of these altars. This one's full of presents, but that's all right. I'm convinced a person can still get a hold of God right there at an altar with a bunch of boxes on it. It'll work just fine. Come ahead. If God's spoken to you, you feel free to come ahead.
I need thee every hour.
Boy, isn't that the truth?
Most
precious, we need him every hour.
Lord, no
any hour you spend without God in your life is a lonely time. It's an empty time. You need the Lord right now.
I need thee, oh, I need
join Brother Heron as he sings.
Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
Finance Committee meets tonight at 5 o'clock. Our regular evening service is at 6 o'clock. I invite you to come and be back with us again. Remember, no services Wednesday night. Meet here at 6 o'clock on Thursday night. If you can get here earlier than that, it would be much appreciated and very helpful to have as many helping get ready for the trunk or treat on Thursday evening. Quarterly meeting on Saturday. Be here at 9 o'clock earlier if there are reasons you need to be here earlier. Let's bow our heads as we're dismissed from this service in prayer. And I'm going to ask Brother Frank Chanette, if he would, to pray our benediction, please. Brother Frank.